Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we are going to mine some socials and pull out some posts that kind of warrant some discussion. Obviously, there is discussion underneath the post, but not everyone belongs to every group. Not everyone sees every group. And this gives us a chance to give our opinion and use our little bully platform to make our opinion the one that matters. Just kidding.
And he said little bully just because, you know, we're not actually big bullies, right? We're just little bullies. Exactly. For sure. All right. So what's the first one you want to go over here?
Yeah. So let's, this one's the first one I saw. It actually says, so this is, it's visual, but maybe, you know what, I'm going to screenshot this right now and maybe I will post this so that people can see it. But so this type of glove was used recently in a local NFHS softball game. Is there any rule other than NFHS 141D to come into play when deciding if it can be used or not? So the thing about this glove is it is a normal looking glove. There's not any weird colors or anything else. It's like a normal black Rawlings glove with the red circle with the white R in it. All those things are true, but everywhere there's actual color, there is a bedazzle on it. So the glove is completely rhinestoned, bedazzled, whatever, out. And there's another one that's kind of red and white. Again, the colors themselves wouldn't be a problem, but the question is about bedazzling. And so if any of you who don't have a rule book handy or, unlike David, don't have the entire thing memorized, 141D says specifically glove or mitt shall not be judged as distracting by the umpire is D. So they're saying maybe do I fall under that? I think that bedazzling is distracting. So David, what do you think?
You know, I think it's silly. And I think that, you know, sometimes common sense should probably play in. You know, somebody's parent, somebody's coach probably should have said, not a great idea to bedazzle your glove. But at the same time, you know, is this the pitcher that we're talking about or is it somebody else? And what kind of distracting are we talking about? And I always hate, and this has happened from Pete, I think you and I were coaching 18 plus, I think, or 21U ball. And we had our college kids back, you know, from playing in college and they're playing some summer tournaments and a USA tournament. And an umpire said, hey, you got to get those earrings out. And we're like, no, they really don't. We've changed that rule. You don't have to do that anymore. And they're like, no, here in the rule book, it says if the umpire judges that they're dangerous, you do. And it's like, oh, so you think those stud earrings are dangerous? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, so does the umpire think this is distracting? You know, so I don't like those kinds. I don't like the rule book putting those kinds of pressures on the umpires. It's weird that you think you even have to put some rule in there that would say don't bedazzle your glove. But at the same time, is it really distracting? And did it alter the glove to the point where it's, you know, some kind of advantage to do that? I don't want to think about those things. So I'm sorry, but I got to say, I would support the umpire if he said you can't use it. It's distracting. I'd support him in that. And I would also say that I'm not going to give anybody a hard time if they didn't tell her she couldn't use it. So yeah. I'm Switzerland, I think, in this.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I could pitch her especially would be the problem. But with a situation like a bedazzling on a cloudy day, maybe it isn't so distracting. But on a sunny day, I could see where you might not be able to see bupkis up the middle because it's just like blinging at you, you know, and that would be distracting.
And if it is, then you decide it's distracting, then you kick it, no doubt.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So I want to do one. This one's from James Jones. It's in Ask the Softball Umpires. Anyone else see malicious contact here or just me? And what we have is a video. And the video shows a bunter. She bunts the ball down the first base line, drops the bat, and runs, trying to avoid the F3, the first base player, by running inside the diamond and away from F3 trying to make a play. F3 throws a shoulder into the batter runner instead of going directly after the ball. And I have to agree with most of the posters here. F3 is done for the day. Thanks for playing. See you in the next game because you're done.
Yeah, so that's the key there. I think the point of malicious contact is literally you're looking to make contact for some reason other than fielding a ball. So like you can kind of intentionally make contact if you're going after the ball. So let's say the ball's hit up the middle and you're charging it. You're the shortstop, you're charging the ball and the runner's coming. And you know that if you keep going for the ball, you're going to hit the person and it's just, you're going to make this contact. You don't slam into them, you don't do anything else, but you know that probably some bumping is inevitable. That's okay. I don't think that's malicious contact. That's not what that is. But if you're not even going for the ball and you throw a shoulder check into a runner that's, again, the runner's in the wrong, you know, there. Oh, wait, hold on. What you said. So I'm not watching the video. So I was just going by your words. So you said she ran out of the way. Was she out of the way just to avoid to give that fielder that berth? Or was she avoiding? So that the runner was being cool is what you're saying.
Yep. runners
okay.
being way cool.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that case, you got a runner who's doing their best to even help you out. And as part of this, you decide to just drill this girl? Come on, man. That's, you're done. And I'm shaming your parents in my head.
Somebody said, don't you let her get past you. Throw her an arm. I don't know if they did that or not. All right. So let's see.
So that was that one? Because I got one for you.
All right.
So this one also from Ask the Softball Umpires. NFHS rules. Runner on first and second, no outs. Long story short, inside the park home run. The runner that started on second scored. Touched the plate. The runner that started on first missed the plate by 2 feet. The umpire did notice. The batter eventually crosses and touches the plate. So we've got three runners plated. One, not so much, but did pass the base. Therefore, by rule, assuming to have been touched the base. What happens? Does the umpire call it or does it have to be appealed? And what's the end result? So I don't know if the person asking is an umpire or a coach, because I would hope most umpires would know the umpire would not proactively call it. But what do you think? Maybe I'm wrong. David, what's the answer?
Yeah, so you certainly can't call anything yet. Every runner who passes a base is assumed to have touched the base, except for upon proper appeal. So you do have to have an appeal here. And once they do appeal, then the runner from third is going to score. Right. The runner from second is not. Mm-hmm. The runner from first is, and the home run hitter is, unless there are two outs. And if there are two outts, then the runner from third is going to score.
There is no runner on third. It's runner first and second. So the three total runners scoring are the two runners that started on base and the batter runner.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. So the runner from second is the one that missed
the runner from first.
Okay. So the second runner across. Okay. My bad. Sorry. I should have paid attention. I was multitasking, Pete. I apologize. I was talking to the interns over here about the very next play that we're going to do while you were going over that one. So anyway, so the runner from second is going to score. The runner from first is going to be out on appeal because she missed the plate. And then the batter runner is going to score. If there are two outs, the runner from second is going to score. And then the appeal on the runner from first who missed the plate is going to kill the inning. We're done. One runner scored.
Yeah. So the only way that the batter runner does not score in this play, the way it happened, is if the appealed out becomes the third out.
That's right.
Otherwise, because there is some discussion in here. And as David and I talked about in our pre-meeting, that you know, we were like, well, why would people even be confused by this? And we were just wondering, is it the case of people saying, well, when the appeal happened, does that nullify everything that comes after the appeal? And the example I used was fruit of the poison tree kind of thing. If you think about from a legal perspective, if the search was illegal, then the things you found were illegal and they can't be used against you in your trial, et cetera, et cetera. So is it that like, well that person scored and so the person can't score behind them because we nullified this score in front of it? No. You know, so everyone played it. We appealed one of them. The appeal was upheld and boom, she's out. As long as that was not the third out, the batter runner also scores. That's
nailed it.
That's the ruling. Yes.
Yep. Love it. All right. From Ask the Softball Umpires. We love us some Robert Bannon and his group. A lot of people are putting some great stuff in here. So Mark Saylor says, Alabama high school softball. Awesome. Alabama high school softball. Gotta love it. Runners on first and second, no outs. Got it. First and second, no outs. Batter bunts. Catcher fields and throws to first. The ball is dropped. Ball is dropped first baseman and runner reaches on air. Okay, I would say by the first baseman probably, right? So first baseman doesn't catch it. Home plate umpire rules runner interference, running out of lane, and runners are returned to first and second. Okay, bottom half of the inning with a runner on first, same bunt, runner inside the baseline, but this time, the first baseman catches it, and the runner on first moves to second. Batter is out, but no interference is called, so the runner advances. After the game, I asked the home plate umpire if he would have called interference if the ball was dropped, and he said he would have. Is interference called only when it affects the batter reaching first? This is a great question. So runner's lane interference is only called if the runner interferes with the first baseman's ability to catch the ball. So the decision is not when it affects the batter reaching first. That's not the decision about whether there's interference or not. The decision from the umpire comes, did the batter runner interfere with the first baseman's opportunity to catch the ball? We don't have enough information here to be able to say if they did or they didn't. Just the fact that they caught the ball doesn't mean that there was interference because you might have a stud first baseman that caught it anyway.
Right.
But so we don't have enough information, but to the poster, to Mark, Sailor, is interference called only when it affects the batter reaching first? Absolutely not. Has nothing to do with that at all. Runner's lane interference has nothing to do with whether the batter runner was safe or not. It has to do with whether the batter runner interfered with the first baseman's ability to catch the thrown ball. That's it. Period. Stop. Full stop. Short rule. Most misunderstood, probably one of the most misunderstood rules in softball. But yeah, so that was a fun one.
Yeah. So I got one for you. This is more a statement and an opinion that we can prompt discussion, we'll say. So this is by Joe Webern on NFHS Softball Umpires Group. So he just says, an umpire's job is to impartially enforce the rules. Correct. As an umpire, a well-coached team, As an example, a well-coached team will generally commit less interference and obstruction. That team has probably earned that advantage. Our job is not to try to eliminate that advantage. If you're trying to help, teach, assist, etc., a player or a coach, you are trying, maybe unknowingly, to help them score runs or prevent runs from scoring. Just be an umpire. So that it kind of goes through, you know, last episode when we were going through some of those scenarios we talked about, would you talk to, seeing you saw a pitcher commit an illegal pitch during warmups, right, would you say something before the warmup? And you said, you know, assuming that we're at a decently high level of softball, I'm not saying anything before she commits her first infraction during playtime, you know, during the point at which you're calling rules like that. And so that's, you seem to kind of be agreeing with Joe in this case. And is that your overall, do you think, feel like he nailed it? Or you got any commentary to add to what he said?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the most important things, well, we discussed this actually in we have a full episode that is, you know, is it coaching or is it preventative umpiring? Right. Mm-hmm. And so this falls into that space. I think you want to be careful not to coach. You know, it's unless it's a developmental type of situation, you know, and yeah, by that, I mean, younger ages, you know, it's not high school, it's not college, developmental, help them out a little bit. You know, one of our friend umpires, you know, I won't call her out by name, but here in Central Ohio, has been a long time softball person, daughter played softball, became an umpire, became a coach, was a summer coach, you know, works at school, just really cares about the game of softball and the girls who play the game of softball, loves to coach while wearing an umpire mask. And it's like, well, and at most ages, that's okay, right? In most situations. But once you get to the competitive spots, I think you should avoid it.
Yep, I agree.
All right, I got a really cool one here. And then I think we'll have to close it up. But I love this. This is a rookie umpire question. So Margaret Godwin on May 7th. So 2024. So I'm not sure how this one has shown up so recently. Somebody must have commented on it very recently. But rookie umpire question. But does the tie go to the runner? Is that a real thing, right? Or does the runner have to beat the throw to the base so the tie goes to the defense? This is an easy one, but very, very common question. You know, some veteran umpires will say there is no such thing as the tie goes to the runner. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You'll never read that in the book, but the rule will tell you that in order for there to be an out, the ball has to get there before the runner.
Yes.
So
it's like during the double first base episode where we said the whole one big base thing. One big base is not in the rule, but the idea that it can turn into that quote unquote once you passed it,
yeah,
is true in NFHS. You know, so yes, it's like it's the spirit of the rule, whereas you don't want to use, because again, as umpires, we don't want to use language that is not in the book. So that's not helpful. So if we say things like tie goes to the runner, it may cause confusion. But if you use the language you just said, where the ball needs to beat the runner, make all inferences in your head as to what that means.
Yeah. And that's what the rule says, right? So the mm-hmm. rule says in order for there to be an out, that's what has to happen. So I would ask then the listeners, sorry, I'm a software guy. Sorry, guys. You know, I do software training
users,
for a living.
People right? in here, podcast.
So yeah, I would ask the listeners to say, okay, so if the ball has to beat the runner for there to be an out, what if they get there at the same time? Is there an out? Well, no, there's not an out because the ball didn't beat the runner. Well, wait a minute. Didn't I say, did they get there at the same time? Yeah. So that's a tie. So if they tie, who wins? Well, the runner wins, right? Because the ball didn't get there first. So yes, all ties go to the runner effectively, not by rule, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's a great question, Margaret. And I hope that you are still umpiring here in April of 2026, nearly 2 years later.
Yep. I do. And I do have one more. This is one we also pre-gamed a little bit, but I like it. It's a play where the batter hits a ball and it's a short pop-up. It lands 5 feet in front of the plate. The batter drops their bat which is in the batter's box. So they literally, the most textbook bat drop you've ever seen in your life. And the bat is stationary. The ball hits the ground and has heck a backspin and rolls back into the bat, which, P.S., the bat is also a foot or two in front of the plate. So we're talking about fair territory. Is that a fair or a foul ball?
Fair ball.
Correct. And then so
I don't know how that could be a question. Why is there a question?
And then when you watch the video, what I did not notice at first, but some people pointed out, the bat was then moving as the ball hit it. However, the reason why the bat was moving is the catcher kicked it. So again, the bat. So in that case, does that change the outcome of what you just said?
Yeah, not to me anyway. It doesn't. You know, I think once the batter dropped the bat, not on the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the bat is now stationary. So now the bat has become part of the field and the catcher kicked part of the field,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the ball still rolled into the bat, if I'm not mistaken. So the catcher moved the bat, but still the ball hit a stationary bat in fair territory. Yes, fair ball all day.
Yeah. So at no point are we calling the, because if anything, in this case, the catcher may have caused some kind of problem here. But at no point are we calling the batter out, the batter.
No, no. The only way to get the batter in trouble is if the batter drops the bat on the ball.
Yeah. So that whole old adage of ball hits bat, we don't call that. Bat hits ball, go to the wall. I don't know.
That rhymes. That's what I want to know. I want to know.
There's a rhyme, and I don't know what it is. Yeah. I'm trying to make it up, but yes.
Yeah. So if the ball is rolling into a stationary bat, you're good. Where was the bat?
Doug Hatfield's got me on this one. Ball hits bat, play it where it's at. Bat hits ball, you make the call.
You make the call.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. That was a user?
It was Doug Hatfield.
Cool.
There you go. So there's your rhyme.
Awesome. Great. So the whole episode, Pete, was social media. So I don't think we're going to close out with a social media call.
That
today.
Was my closing. Right. That actually, right. The bonus social media was the bonus social media.
I love it. So this was a fun episode. Folks, thanks a lot for listening.
Yep. Until next time.